Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, it certainly is good to see you all today. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Nobody was chased away last week. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But you know, correction is good. Sometimes when things need to be corrected, they need to be corrected. You know, and I'm so thankful for correction because I always learned this. It wasn't what I was doing right that held me back. It was always what I was doing wrong, amen? And so we want to be people that are after God. We don't want to just be people that come to church for some religious obligation, some religious duty. But we want to come to church to meet the real God, amen? We want to be connected to God and to receive all that he has for us. And we just can't do that if the word won't be preached and if correction won't be preached, you know, amen? And so we're thankful for it. Praise the Lord. But today's message is What Faith Is, Part 3, Part 2. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What Faith Is, Part 3. I don't know if they got it there. There it is. Faith is a voice. Amen. And I promised you last week we'd be getting into the rest of the message. You know, last week we started down this road. Of course, there was we had to go in some different directions just to take care of some things. Praise the Lord. But, you know, I promise you we get back to it. And the Lord allowed me to stay truthful to my promise, and I'm glad he did, because today's message is really, really important to us. Amen. Now, all these messages, of course, on faith, you know, I said I'm going to do a series on faith, and I've just taken us out of the series and just allowed us to be preaching about faith for a while. Amen. So it's not necessarily a series because we never got past the first part of it with which is what faith is. What is faith? You know, we need to talk about that. But as I started getting into it, what I started realizing is faith is a lot of things. Faith is a big thing, amen? We know that faith, you know, I've talked about how faith is a substance, praise the Lord, that it's tangible, that it's a commodity, that it's something that we can use, that we can spend, praise the Lord. But we're also going to see that faith is a voice. Now, last week we talked about a little bit about this. You know, one of the scriptures we're going to start in Revelation 12:11. Praise the Lord, and we started there last week. Praise God. But Revelation 12:11, you can go ahead and pull that up. Glory to God. But after we went to Revelation 12:11, then I took you back to Genesis. We went all the way back to Genesis. And in Genesis, we saw that, you know, we went through in the first chapter there, in many verses, how many times that God said. It said that God said. That God didn't wave a magic wand. He didn't wave a hanky. Didn't have some, you know, stick or something like that that he did. Didn't shake a stick at it. Glory to God. He didn't do some kind of tribal dance. Praise the Lord. He said, let there be, and there was. Amen. And everything that he said, let there be, there was. Praise the Lord. And you say, well, you know, when you think about things like light, you know, I always think about stuff like this. But when you think about things like light, you know, he said, let there be light. But we know that light isn't just, okay, there's light on. We see light, but we know that light is the reason that we see all the colors we see. We wouldn't see any of the colors without the light that we have. In fact, we understand that when light is broken down through a prism, praise the Lord, you see the different colors of the rainbow. Amen. That's why we see rainbows. And what is that? That's just the separation of the colors that make up light. Amen. But the reason that we see what we see is because of that light. Amen. So there was more to light when God said, let there be light, wasn't there? When God created humans, there was more to us than just one kind of flavor, one kind of look. Amen. But see, because when God's creative power, the way that it works is that when he spoke, everything that he saw in his heart, everything that he imagined it to be, that's what became. And so we saw, you know, and we see this. We're going to look at the example of the fig tree, you know, when Jesus spoke to the fig tree. He said, let no one eat fruit of you again. Well, if you had just read up to that point, you would think, well, maybe, you know, it'll just never bear fruit again. But then when they came back, they found that the fig tree had died. Amen. And it didn't just die, but it shriveled up from its roots. And that's because God on earth, his imagination was, is that that whole tree would be withered and dead. Amen. And so that the words are backed by more than just the surface words. They're backed by what you believe or what you see. And so we're going to understand that today, that our words are the same way. You can just repeat what I say. Amen. You can be repeaters of the word of God. But that doesn't mean you're going to have the power working in your life, because it's backed by something else. It's backed by your faith. It's backed by what you believe is going to happen. So you can speak to that tree and say, let no one eat fruit of you again, but not really believe it, and you'll never see that. Why? Because it's not backed by anything. Amen? We are backed by our faith, just as God's word was backed by his faith when he said, let the earth bring forth all kinds. He meant all the kinds that he saw, all the kinds that he imagined, and he imagined very different kinds. Amen? When he said the light, the same thing. I just love that. And, you know, I wasn't planning on preaching that, but that was just revelation in the moment. Glory to God. How God, why do I share that with you? I share that with you just to show you that it's the power of God. It's not my ability. Amen. It's not my, God forbid I ever stand in this pulpit and take credit for anything good that comes out of my mouth. But there's only good that comes out here is from God. But I'm thankful for it. Amen. The Bible says that he uses the foolish things of the world. And I love that. I love that he does, because then you can't glory in my presence. You can't glory in me. Praise the Lord. We can only give glory to God. Amen. But Revelation 12:11, as it says here, and they overcame him, and that's the devil. No, I was going to go into more deep detail about this, but that's for another time, another service. Praise the Lord. But he's talking about the saints that overcame, amen, overcame the devil. Glory to God. And it says they overcame him. They overcame him. Did say God overcame him. Said they overcame. Praise the Lord. Stop praying that God is going to stop the devil. Stop praying that God is going to take the devil out of your life. Because he ain't going to do it. Praise the Lord. Why? Because you are the overcomer. Yeah. Jesus already overcame. He doesn't need to overcome the devil again. Praise the Lord. He doesn't need to beat him again. No. You're the one. Listen, if you're the one dealing with the devil, God is not the one dealing with him, is he? God doesn't deal with the devil. You know that. God doesn't deal with the devil. Why doesn't God deal with the devil? He doesn't need to. He's already defeated. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You ain't got to go back and re-beat somebody you already beat, right? Praise the Lord. You got to re-beat him. That reminded me of something from my childhood. I ain't going to share it with you maybe later if you ask me. Praise the Lord. But he ain't going to re-beat. Praise the Lord. He's already defeated. He's a defeated foe. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. If somebody who climbs Mount Everest, they don't look at that. They might climb it again, but they don't look at that and say, I've never climbed it. I've never conquered it. No, in fact, if they go back more confident than they did the first time because they already did it once. Amen? Well, it's the same thing with God. He has confidence before, but we need to have confidence in front of the devil as well. This is why, Christians, we have to be taught right. It's imperative that we are taught correctly. If we are taught wrong, then we will continue to pray stupid prayers like, God, take the devil away from me. God, stop the devil from attacking me. It's not going to work that way. The Bible says you take your authority. And back here, right back in Revelation 12:11, it says, and they overcame. They overcame. They overcame. You say, I don't know if that's all it said. Well, we'll look at the whole scripture and we'll see. Because it gives us two ways that we overcame. Amen? Those two ways that we overcome are extremely important. And if you don't know this as a Christian, you are not going to do it. If you are not going to do it, you are not going to overcome. These are the reasons. If people do not overcome an addiction or anything else, it is not God's fault. It's not because he took it away. He said, you overcome. Yeah. You overcome. I have heard stories of people who have gotten, they gotten saved, born again, and they gave up an addiction quick or something like that. That happens once in a while. Amen. But by and large, that's not the way that it happens. It didn't happen that way for me. I went through hell quitting when I quit some of the things I quit. I mean, went through hell quitting it. Amen. Praise the Lord, but I overcome. Amen? Yes, that's right. And I overcame by two things, just like you will overcome. Praise the Lord. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. What's the blood of the Lamb? That's the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the blood that he shed on the cross for us. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's what enables us. That gives us our authority. That's what gives us the proof that the devil has no authority in our lives. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So they overcome by that. Yeah. Amen. And that word and is a big and, praise the Lord. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's what I want to focus on right here. This is how you overcome, by the blood of the Lamb. Do we need to get the blood of the Lamb again? Nope. We have to. We've got the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb is a perpetual gift to us. Amen. As long as we want to receive it, we get to access it. Amen. And receiving it is not hard. You just continually believe in it. If you stop believing in your authority over your sickness, over your disease, if you start not believing in the authority that you have in your life, praise the Lord, then you give it up. You give it up, but the authority is still yours. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we see this, that they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. This is so incredibly important, the word of their testimony. This is the place that is the dividing line where many Christians lose it. Now, you can go into just about any church in this town today, and you can probably ask them all the same question, do we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, or is the blood of the Lamb ours? Is it, you know, does it belong to us? And most all of them are going to say yes, that Jesus died for us, that it's his blood that saves us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But not every one of those same churches, not in this town or any town, is going to teach you the second part, that's the word of your testimony matters. Amen. That what you speak matters. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The word of God is so important. The word of God in our mouth is so important. In fact, I was driving to an appointment this week. Amen. And I was praying about a certain situation, the situation that I was appointed to go see. Amen. Praise the Lord. And this is the word that the Lord gave me. God spoke something to my heart, and I love this. Amen. And so I wrote it down in my little book of magic tricks here. Hallelujah. And he said, this is what I heard in my spirit as I was praying. This is why it's important to pray. Amen. And pray in the spirit. You can't just get this praying in your natural language. Praying in the spirit is of utmost importance. Listen, you do not need to be saved, or you do not need to pray in tongues to be saved. You not like to go to heaven. But sometimes you're going to have to have that prayer language in order to be saved on this earth. Amen. Because God will speak to us through, that's one of the ways he speaks to us. Amen. But that's for another time, another place. Amen. This is what I heard in my spirit as I was praying. The word of God is our answer. Praise the Lord. Does anyone disagree with that? We all know the word of God is our answer. Amen. But he went on to say, it's not just the answer we get. In other words, when you read the Bible, I found my answer. It's not just the answer we get, but it's the answer that we give. Hallelujah. So the word of God is our answer. It's not just the answer we get, it's the answer we give. See, it is so important for us to understand this, that the word of God is effective, but we have to use it. We have to employ it. We have to make it, we have to use it, praise the Lord, because it's our tool, praise God, hallelujah. Glory to God. And I want to pull up John 17:17. This is a good scripture, amen. You know, this was stirring in my heart a lot when I was reflecting on this message for this week, praise the Lord. Jesus said to the Lord, he said, in his prayer, he said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Hallelujah. You know, that word sanctified is an interesting word. It means to cleanse. It means to clean. Praise the Lord. But it also means to set free. And of course, we read every week. We read John 8:31-32. Amen. If you abide in my word abides in you. You'll be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Praise the Lord. And so we understand this, that we're set free by the word. Sanctify them, set them free by your truth. Your word is truth. So there's a lot of people, praise the Lord, that have this book laying around somewhere, isn't there? There's a lot of people that have this book on their shelves. There's a lot of people that have this book in their head. But there's not a lot of people that necessarily have this book in their mouth. And the only reason that people don't overcome is that they haven't used the word of God. They haven't put it in their mouth. Now, I've sat here as a pastor, and I've preached a message, and I've had people believe me, and I've had people not believe me. I've interpreted the word, I've shared the word, I've explained the word, I've had people believe me, and I've had people not believe me. Those who don't believe me generally don't believe me because there's something in their life that they don't want to let go of. And so when they hold on to that over this, then they reject the word, and they accept what they believe. Now, why is that a problem? That's a problem because, back to what I said before, it's not what you were doing right that got you in trouble. It's what you were doing wrong. And when you live in this perpetual state of back and forth and never knowing, it's not because God is not connected from you. The Bible tells us he is not far from any of us. But it's because you haven't connected to the word. Amen. The word of God is utmost important. The spirit is wonderful. We love the spirit in this church. Amen. I love being a spiritual church. We are what's called a really, if you want to get down to brass tacks, as it were, we as it's called, we could be called a Pentecostal church. Amen. But we're a little bit different than some other Pentecostal churches, aren't we? Why? Because our focus isn't on the Spirit. Our focus is on the Word. Why is our focus on the Word? Because the Word is first. The Spirit will only work in conjunction with the Word. If you have too much Word and not enough Spirit, you'll get religious. And if you have too much Spirit and not enough Word, you're going to get flaky. Praise the Lord. And that's why a lot of people, that's why Pentecostals get a bad name, because they're out there being flaky, because they're not balanced by the Word. But we are balanced by the Word. Amen. The Word of God is our hope. It's our answer. It's the thing that gets us through, gets us by. It's our answer every single time. Amen. In fact, every single time I pray, you want to know where God leads me? The Word. God doesn't come out of heaven. I don't have these crazy visions of Jesus appearing before me and he's come down from heaven and laying out all this direction for my life. Every single time I pray and I ask God for something, when he gives me my answer, it's right in the Word of God. Every time he gives me a scripture to go to. And like sometimes I remember at first I'd be like, okay, well, you know, that's not the answer I wanted. You know what I mean? I wanted the specific answer. I wanted to know exactly my word. God always leads in conjunction with his Word. Why? Because God can't lie. And if he said it, if he's spoken it, he'll do it. So we just got to find out what he spoke, and then and it'll happen. Amen? Praise the Lord. So many times people have they're just praying to God to fix their situation, to fix their problems, and that's the problem. He said, God is not going to fix. This is why people aren't getting answers to prayers, because God is not going to fix what he's already fixed. He's not going to fix what he's already given you to do. He's not going to change that either. When God says to do this or that, that's what you're going to have to do to get beyond it. It's not going to change. No matter how many times or how many angles you want to look at it, it's going to be the same answer. The Word of God will always lead us in the same answer. Amen. God isn't going to change it. He's not going to come down and do it a separate way. In fact, God's Word has got to be enough for us, but it's got to be enough in our mouths. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4:13. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We'll read verses 13 and 14. Praise God. Hallelujah. It says here, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written. Okay, so that's an important, something important that we have to look at here for a moment. Since we have the same spirit of faith, the spirit of faith that we have, the spirit of faith that's on the inside of us. Listen, you need the spirit of faith to act in faith. And that, the Bible says that God has all given us all a measure of faith. Hallelujah. And we're told how to build faith. But look what it says. It says that since we're given the same spirit of faith, according to what is written. Our faith is in conjunction with the words that are written in the Word. Amen. The Word of God is the same spirit of faith. That's the same. This is the overcoming faith that all the Old Testament saints had, all the New Testament saints had, and all the present Testament saints have. Praise the Lord. You have the same spirit of faith according to what is written. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I believed, and therefore I spoke. This is the spirit of faith. You believe, and then therefore you speak. You believe, and then therefore you speak. You only speak what you believe. And so if you don't believe the Word, you don't speak the Word. Have you ever met a negative person? Praise the Lord. Anyone met a negative person in here? It's always negative. I mean, like, always negative. They always got something bad to say. They've always got something down to say. They can turn anything into a bad thing. Have you ever met a person like that? Why do they speak like that? Why are they so negative? Because they've fully embraced what they believe. You see, there's people that have hope. You know what I mean? There's people out in the world that have hope, and even there's even people that aren't going to churches that have some kind of sliver of hope, and so they're putting their faith in their faith a little bit is in, well, maybe it'll get better. Sometimes it's just blind hope, and they're just saying, well, it'll all work out in the end. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's kind of a hope that they put out there. So maybe they don't speak as bad. But then there's those people that just everything is bad. I mean, I have met people that were so miserable that just everything, they fully embraced their miserableness. And that everything that they spoke was, it's what they believe. Yeah. I believe and therefore I spoke. That's exactly what the Bible is telling us. You will speak what you believe. And you better speak what you believe if you believe the right thing. And if you don't believe the right thing, then you need to change what you believe and start speaking the right thing. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm going to give you an example of how this message really came about. So I was dealing with something, an issue, a stronghold in my life. Do we have, anyone here have strongholds in your life? You know what I mean by a stronghold? You got something that just holds on to you, and it just, no matter how many times you come at it, no matter how many times you want to change it, it just doesn't change. Yeah. Has anyone been there? Praise the Lord. I was so blessed one day when I come across Romans 7. If you're a person who struggles with something, read Romans 7. Praise the Lord. And of course, more towards the end of the chapter, Paul's starting to talk about what a wretched person he is. He's saying, all the things I want to do, I don't do, and all the things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I end up doing. Does that ever describe your life? You're like, you go to church, and you're like, man, I want to be a good Christian. I want to be after God. I know many of you, most of you, all of you, praise the Lord, think that. I want to be after God. I want to be doing the right thing. And then you get out there in the world, and all of a sudden something happens, and all that changes. Like, you still want it, but you're just not doing it. And you're like, I know what I'm supposed to do. And then you come back the next week and you come to church and Pastor Jeff gets up there and starts yelling at you. And all of a sudden you start feeling bad because you weren't doing the thing that you wanted to do anyways. And you don't even really know why you weren't doing it. You're just not doing it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Paul dealt with the same thing. The Apostle Paul dealt with the same thing. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We'll all deal with stuff like this. And so I was dealing with one of those things. As a pastor of a church, two churches, I know that I got to do right. I know that wherever I go, my people will go. And wherever I don't go, that's what I keep my people from going into. And so that's something that weighs on me sometimes because it's not something I want. I look at your life and I think, man, your life needs to be blessed. Praise the Lord. That's why I rejoice when you're driving a nice new car or you're overcome a disease or you got that new job or praise the Lord, new house, praise the Lord, glory to God, whatever it is. A new place to live, you know, just the peace in your life. That means everything to me. Glory to God. But I know that I can't take people there unless I go there myself. And so I deal with things as well, just like you. Amen. And so I'm dealing with this thing in my life, struggling with it and struggling with it and struggling with it. And it's something that just, you know that I have to deal with. The Lord's dealing with me. And I keep going to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, just be patient with me. Just be patient with me. I'm trying my best I can, you know. I'm doing the best I can. And I would beg God at times for help. And sometimes I'm begging God for death. You ever done that? You ever got to the place where you're like, Lord, just take me now. Let me go on to be in glory because I just can't deal with the flesh anymore. Praise the Lord. Well, I can tell you I've been there more times than I can count. But see, the Lord is faithful. He didn't just take me. Glory to God. So as I'm going, I'm sitting there, but I decided, I started getting hold of something, and I decided I was going to start speaking differently about it. Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I decided I was going to start doing something about it, you know. And so every once in a while, I get fed up with the devil giving me those stupid thoughts, you know, the stupid thoughts you have that you just hate. You know that you don't even want, listen, if you don't even want the thought, that's your first clue it ain't your thought. Yeah, if you're thinking something you don't like, that's your first clue it ain't yours. So give it back to that scumbag because it doesn't belong to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't allow him to get you in condemnation because you're having a thought that you don't want to have. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. And so I just get fed up with it. And I'd say, you know, I would just confess what I wanted to say. I just start, and what I mean by confess is I literally would just start saying, no, I will do this and I will do this. That's the way I started saying it. And I'd do it every day. I didn't, it would have been better if I had done it every day, but I wasn't really grabbing hold of it yet. And then this last week and a half ago, when my daughter and I were up in Mississauga, we're standing in worship, just worshiping God, worship service before church, you know, before the sermon. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I wasn't thinking about it. It wasn't anywhere in my mind, but all of a sudden a whole thing of revelation bubbled up out of my spirit. See, this is what happens with God. And all of a sudden I understood things I didn't understand before. And he showed me, he put it in connection with it. And I was like, I got to go back and preach this. I got to go back and teach this. This is the reason, this is how people overcome. And this is the reason that people that don't. Because those who don't overcome are those who don't speak the right thing. Listen, if you're dealing with an addiction or something like that, I don't know if there's anyone in here who is. I have no natural knowledge of that right off the top of my head. So I'm putting that out there. I mean, maybe if I look at your faces or something, I could think about it. But honestly, I don't know if there is. But if there isn't, you can help someone else with it this same way. And the addiction could be anything. It doesn't have to be drugs or alcohol. It could be something like, it could be a pornography. It could be sex. It could be, you know, whatever, anything ever is unhealthy, you know, not that... You understand what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. But this is what the issue is that people aren't confessing the right thing. They're not speaking the things that they want to see. They're not speaking their life into a better place. What they're doing is they're allowing, I don't know, I'm always caught up in this. I'm always trapped in this. I never get out of these are the thoughts. They never deal with the thoughts. They never use their authority. And so therefore they never come. Why? Because they never have a testimony. Let's go back to Revelation 12:11. Praise God. They never have a testimony. This is what God showed me about the scripture, the word of their testimony. A testimony is not just what has happened, but it's what you're testifying will happen. Because faith, the Bible tells us that faith speaks to those things that be not as though they were. That's the way God was. And the Bible tells us to have the faith that God has. Amen? Or have faith in God, or have faith in the way that God does things. The reason that people don't overcome is because they're embracing those things instead of testifying opposite. You say, well, but if I start testifying, that doesn't mean that it happens overnight. No, it doesn't. So does that make me a liar? Absolutely not. Not if you have faith. Because if you have faith enough to say it, then you can have faith enough to change it. I said, if you can have faith enough to say it, then you can have faith enough to change it. You know, the thing about faith, when you start speaking it the first time, you're not going to like it. You're going to say it, and you're going to be like, it doesn't sound right coming out of my mouth. You know, I'm done with this disease or that thing or this whatever. I'm done with it. And it's not what manifests. Praise the Lord. You know, glory to God. I love it when people speak faith. You know, praise the Lord. I have my dear sister Cindy over here has dealt with a lot of issues. Praise God. I'm not going to bring it all up right now but one of the things I love about it is every time I ask her how she's doing, I'm healed. Praise the Lord. Doesn't matter what she's going, I'm healed. Now, listen, there's times in her alone time or maybe even times not in her alone time where she deals with thoughts and stuff like that. We all do. But what does she do? She keeps the voice of faith moving, the testimony of faith. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Why do I bring that up? Because that's just an example of the way that it is. We just keep going. We just keep speaking the right thing. They overcome by the word of their testimony. Your testimony is what you believe is going to happen. Your testimony is not just what has happened, but your testimony is what you believe is going to happen. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you believe that God is healer, then you keep testifying it. You're going to see it. If you believe that God will set you free, you keep testifying it, you'll see it. If you believe that freedom is yours, I don't just mean that God is going to set you free, but it belongs to you and you're mad if you don't get it. Yeah. Freedom is yours because the Bible says it's mine. And see, that's why we go to the word of God. We go to the word and we see, wait a minute, this belongs to me because I'm a child of God. So it's not right that it doesn't exist in my life right now. Listen, those words are not going to change it overnight. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to tell you, your faith ain't going to change things overnight. Right. But just because it doesn't change things overnight doesn't mean that it's not something you keep doing. Right. A farmer doesn't put seed in the ground because he thinks he's going to get corn the next day, does he? No. But he endures through it. He waits for it. Amen? Right. You know, there was this one flower, this one plant. These people were waiting for it to flower. It flowers like once every, I don't know, 10 years or something like that. 7 years, 10 years. One time. And only for like a few weeks, and then it's done. It's all done. Very beautiful flower, I guess. But that's what it does. You know, people wait for it. They didn't just throw it in the trash. So it didn't come. But see, it's the same thing with the word. Why don't they throw it in the trash? Because they know that it's eventually going to flower. But see, that's the thing. If we're truly the people of God, we know that eventually the word's going to flower in our life. eventually it's going to work out. Why does it take a process of time? Well, that's a whole other sermon. That's a whole other issue. But I can tell you, it's not a bad thing that it does. And the reason it's not a bad thing and it does is because things that happen to us instantly do not build character in us. And character is one of the most important things to God. And character is important to us, believe it or not. Hallelujah. You ever met a rich, spoiled brat that's been given everything? And they don't care about anything? You know why they're like that? Because they've been given everything and never made to care about anything. One of the things I love is that my kids have had to learn the value of working hard. They are learning it continually. I wanted it to be that way. There was times where there was things I could have given them. And I didn't give them only because, praise the Lord, there needed to be things built in them. There's nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with that. I am so glad that I wasn't handed everything on a silver spoon, because I would have never understood faith for believing God or trusting God to bring something into my life. And see, at one time I used to look at rich people just like all of you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I would look at somebody who's got wealth and I would think, man, if we just had that. Yeah. But see, God promises us life. Yeah. He promises us abundant life. You ain't got to covet anything. The reason he said don't covet is because you don't need to covet. You don't need to covet when it's yours anyways. Praise the Lord. He said the meek shall inherit the earth. Praise God. Hallelujah. What do you care if it happens now or in 70 years from now? Well, just because you're living right now? Praise the Lord. Who cares? If you get everything for eternity, what do you care? Even if you got nothing on this earth while you were here, but you get everything in eternity. See, this is why people get worked up at things like this, because they don't understand what happens after we go on. Yeah. Do you realize there's been reports of people that have seen into heaven or have gone to heaven? Lord has taken them to heaven. And they come back. And one thing that I've overwhelmingly heard is that none of them want to come back. They don't want to come back to this earth. Why? Because it's so much better there. Praise the Lord. So at the very least, we have that hope. But see, we don't just have that hope. See, that should be enough. But somewhere in our religious minds over the years, that has been corrupted to think that, oh, we just put it off to the sweet by and by. And that's some kind of weird, dumb thing that Christians get, that pastors get believers to believe. And then when they get them to do that, then they can keep their seats full and they can keep the offering bucket full and all that stuff. But that's not the truth at all. But that's where people have missed it, because everybody wants to slip back to that old way of thinking. But that's not our God. See, the things here belong to us. What the word promises belong to us. The Bible says we inherit the promises through faith and patience. Faith is what? Believing God and trusting God and saying it will. Whatever he said is. Praise the Lord. Amen. You ever heard that? What he said? Yeah. Let's just do that with God. What he said. The devil comes knocking. What he said. What God said. Yeah, I say here because he's like, right with me. I believe he's right with me. Praise the Lord. I'm not just, but whatever. Like what God said. Listen, devil, you can tell me anything you want, but I know what God said. Faith and patience. Who cares if it happens 10 years from now? Like, see, Christians, a lot of times they think that what we've gotten into is this thought process that this life and our eternal life is somehow separate. But it's not. It's different, but it's not separate. Listen, brothers and sisters, if we trust in God for salvation, for eternal salvation, we don't die, we step over. Yes. The flesh dies, but we continue on. That's not a bad thing. I know that sometimes people are sitting there, because we're all here and now people, so we're thinking, well, I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about that. But when we get to step over, it's a glorious thing. The Bible says we rejoice. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. We got to think about things right. But we overcome by the word of our testimony. We have to understand that it's the words that we speak matter completely. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Matthew 8:23. Now, is there anyone in here that would argue that Jesus did not come to show us how to live, but he just came to show us that he was God, and that was it? That's right. Doesn't even the Bible tell us that we ought to walk as he walked? Yeah. Jesus came to show us that living as a human in the flesh, but full of God, was completely possible. That's part of what he did. Listen, Jesus dying on the cross was a whole separate incident. Jesus living here for so many years, praise the Lord, he showed us how to live in faith. That's what he was doing. Jesus was here showing us how to live in faith. Christians, we got to get hold of this. Jesus showed us how to live. So if Jesus was showing us, what does a good parent do with their child? Don't you show them how to live? Don't you teach them how to make it? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Isn't your goal to, like, if you figured something out, don't you try to impart that into your child? Well, what do you think God was doing? That's exactly what God was doing. He sent Jesus to show us how to do it. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Not to show us what he wanted to give us for a few short years. Jesus' ministry was 3 years. So you mean to tell me that God wanted to show us in all eternity, God wanted to show us in 3 years that God's desire was to heal and to give, and then after that, it was nothing but give and take away. Stupid. That's stupid thinking. It's like when you think about it, when you sit down and think about it, in this context, you're like, man, religious people are idiots. They're morons. It's stupid to think that way. We've all been there. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we ain't going to stay there. If you stay there, you're doubly an idiot. You know what I mean? You're a quadruple moron. Praise the Lord. Or something. Amen. Matthew 8. We don't want to be dummies, amen? Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Matthew 8, 23-26. Now, we're going to read the account of Jesus getting in the boat and rebuking them. Before I get into this, I like Christmas, right? And I like Christmas songs. In fact, I was listening to some the other day. So I tried to last night, but the radio wasn't cooperating, so I got one in, but that was it. I listened to the song, Christmas is Right Around the Corner, just around the corner. I love that song, praise the Lord. Why? Because it's just around, it's coming, amen, praise the Lord. It's just around the corner, amen. We're around that corner, hallelujah. But anyways, there's a song at Christmas time that I just happen to love. It's an old song, and you all know it, praise the Lord. Mary, Did You Know? Remember that song, Mary, Did You Know? Mary, Did You Know That Your Baby Boy Would Someday Walk on Water? You know, all those things. But one line of that song irks me because it's not scriptural. And and I still love that song. I just got to sing that line differently. Praise the Lord. They said, "Did you know that your child, your son—I can't remember exactly how it goes—but he goes, would calm the storm with his hand." Remember that line? Praise the Lord. But the only trouble with that is Jesus didn't calm the storm with his hand. Yeah, praise the Lord. That matters. You say, "Well, why would that matter?" You see, you're just being religious. It matters what we believe. Why? Because, okay, a lot of people hear that song, and a lot of people talk about Jesus calming the storm with his hand. But we're going to see here why this matters, amen? In verse 23, now Jesus got into the boat and his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Praise the Lord. Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. Then his disciples came to him and woke him and saying, "Lord, save us. We are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and what? Rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Praise God. He rebuked it. That's important. He rebuked it. You cannot rebuke with your hands. You rebuke with your mouth. Unless you can't talk and you're using sign language, then I suppose you can, but God would honor that, I believe. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's going to say, "Well, you can't talk. Where's your tongue?" So you can't, you know, well, praise the Lord. If you got to use sign language, then that's what you... But don't just use sign language because you know it. If you got a voice to use, you better use it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. If you can use your voice, you need to start rebuking something. You need to start speaking at something. Why? How did Jesus overcome the wind and the waves? The rest of them were saying what? We're perishing. Jesus said something different. He said, "I'm the Son of God." Praise the Lord, you're a child of God. Son or daughter. He said, this is essentially what he's saying. You remember what I said? But what he knew, what he believed was backing up his voice. When he said stop, he knew he had stopped because he knew it would stop because he knew his authority. And it stopped because everything else knows the authority of one who has authority. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He spoke as one having authority. Glory to God. He spoke, he rebuked it, and it left. It stopped. Yes. Glory to God. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, I don't know what you're thinking. Praise the Lord. But I'm just thinking this. We got to start looking at it differently. We got to start looking at it right. It matters. Listen, I know, like there's a lot of Christian music out there that does a lot of the same stuff. It matters that we listen to the right things, because the right things are what we believe. If we are hearing something over and over, if you're hearing that God is the builder and the wrecking ball over and over and over again, you're going to start believing that. In fact, I'm just going to tell you right now, if any of you have faith that you didn't have before you came in this church, the only reason that you have it is because it's been put into you over and over and over again. And the only reason it was in me, because it was put into me over and over and over again. Praise the Lord. God always leads me back to the Word. He always leads me back to the same thing, the truth of the Word. And the truth of the Word says that I'm an overcomer. Yes. I overcome, but I overcome a certain way. Amen? And I'm not going to do it if I'm not in faith. Praise the Lord. Do you think that if Jesus was just a good man, that if he got in the boat and said, winds be still, or rebuke the winds and the waves, do you think it would happen? No. Because just being a good man doesn't make it. Just because you're good on this earth doesn't make you put you. It's got to be somebody with authority. God has given us authority. This is how we overcome. If you don't speak to it, what would be an example of it? If you're dealing with an addiction, a drug addiction, and it's something that you can't get over, it's something that's just perpetually on you. What do you start doing? First of all, you got to be in church. Praise the Lord, and you got to be in the Word. If you're not in those two things, then you're not going to get much help. But you be in church, you be in the Word, and then you start speaking to it. You say, I know according to the Word that I'm set free from all things. The Word sets me free. And so I just claim it right now in the name of Jesus. I just say it right now in the name of Jesus. And then maybe, I remember somebody was trying to quit smoking. And they came to, I think it was maybe Pastor Nancy. Yeah, Pastor Nancy Dufresne. They came to her and said, I just can't seem to get over it. I just can't seem to get past it. You know what she said to do? I just love it. I was thinking about this week. She said, go ahead and smoke. She said, but just every time you light one up, she said, just say, I'm doing this for the glory of God. Yeah. In the name of Jesus, I'm doing this for the glory of God. Because the Bible says to do all things for the glory of God. Right? Sounds like a pretty simple thing. Okay, so started doing that. I can't remember what it was, of course, over the course of maybe a week or something, all of a sudden, this person had absolutely no desire to do it anymore. It just changed like that. Now, I'm not saying, if you're dealing with this stuff or whatever, I'm not judging you. But I'm just telling you, if you want to get over something, there's a way to get over it. And you can't sit there and always put it off on God saying, well, you just didn't take it from me. Guess it don't work. No, you got to do something about it. If you want to get over it, this is how you're going to get over it. So if you're dealing with an addiction, you start doing it. But you notice, she didn't say just drop it, just quit, just try to make it something. She said, just do it for the glory of God. Just start saying, I'm doing it for the glory of God. And God will work in you. You see, now I'm not encouraging you to go out and partake of things that are, and even worse things, drugs, alcohol, things like that. I'm not encouraging you to go out and partake of those things. But I'm just telling you, if you're struggling with it, that this is how, if you're doing it anyways, you might as well be doing it to the glory of God. I'm serious. Yeah. I am not saying this is your justification for doing it, because the Bible tells us the drunkards go to hell. Yeah. The Bible tells us that. Yeah. Yes, and that's those who practice it. That doesn't mean those who are struggling or trying to quit, all that stuff, praise the Lord. But we have to be sober about these things. The Bible says that fornicators go to hell. Yeah, absolutely. The Bible says that adulterers go to hell. Yeah, it doesn't matter if you've accepted Jesus or not. If you're living that lifestyle, you don't get to go. Yeah, praise the Lord. You have to decide that you want to transition out. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And we don't want that for anybody. But see, these things aren't enjoyable anyways. We look at these things in life. You think about the things that what the Bible calls sin, or what a preacher will say is sin. Praise the Lord. Get up there and say, you sit there and think about all that thing, if you've been doing it. Yeah. Think about all the good that it's been doing in your life. Right. You know you wake up feeling miserable the next day. Yeah. You know that there's times where you feel ashamed. You know there's times where you're sick because of it. Sure. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, my mom and I were on a tour the other day, and there's this woman sitting right outside the door of one of the buildings we were going into touring. We were touring for her birthday, touring a building complex, looking at stuff. There's this woman sitting out there smoking a cigarette. And she would take a drag and just sit there and hack and cough and hack and cough and hack and cough. I'm not judging you and I'm not judging her. Praise the Lord. I'd want to help that woman. But I'm just going to tell you one right now. I used to do that. Yeah. And I know that that wasn't enjoyable. You can't tell me that's enjoyable because I lived that life. I woke up every morning and started hacking and coughing so much that I would even vomit sometimes because of that. Praise the Lord. That's just the truth. I didn't enjoy that. I enjoy it much better now that I can walk a full flight of stairs without being, you know what I'm saying? See, like, that's not God's highest and best is what I'm saying. And so I'm not judging you. I'm not judging that woman. But what I'm saying is sin lifestyle does not make you feel better. It makes you feel worse. It weighs you down. It makes you sick. It's all those things because that's what sin does. Not because God's throwing it on you, but because you bring it on yourself. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. And if anybody's been in a cancer ward or watched somebody with cancer that's died with cancer, I'll just tell you, I watched my stepdad right up until the end to die of cancer. And there's two things that the doctor said. I was sitting right there when he said, there's two things that caused it. There was it was the cigarettes and it was the alcohol. Yeah. Those two things were, he said, equally important. Yeah. Praise the Lord. It's just the truth. Yeah. It wasn't that God's putting it on him. He put it on himself. But I watched him suffer in pain. I watched him go through hell on earth, and it wasn't anybody's fault but his own. And I remember pleading with the Lord to Lord, just let this end. I remember because everybody was just, it was so much. I'm not trying to get emotional here. I'm not trying to bring up bad feelings, but I'm trying to bring up a point. Amen. I remember going through that hell and wishing, just wishing and having the thoughts. I'm telling you, thoughts that I have. I had thoughts of my own of putting him out of his misery. Well, everybody else, yeah, I had thoughts of this as being somebody just because I wanted it to stop. That's not the way God intended you to end your life. That's not the way God intended you to live. But we believe he's in heaven because he received Jesus. We believe he's in heaven because he accepted it, and especially in the clarity at his end, because I talked to him about it. But my point to bringing all this up is so you understand that is the end of those things. And people put that off on God like God's created it. God doesn't create that. He doesn't cause that. But we have to understand, we have to know that it's our actions, is what we decide in life that make up most of what we live. And if we're in a place that we don't like where we live, we can get out of it because the Word of God says it. But you got to be bold enough to say it. You got to be bold enough to at some point say, you know what? Yes, God, I'll get out of this. Praise the Lord. Yes, God, I'll get out of this. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes."
That's right. Yeah.
For the Jew first and also for the Greek. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you come from. I am not ashamed of the gospel. What is the gospel? Literally, the word gospel means good news. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. Yeah. What was the good news of Jesus Christ? Well, I think one of my favorite good part of the good news is John 10:10. Came out of Jesus' mouth himself. He said, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Why? Well, praise the Lord. That's good news. I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It says that he has come to give me life more abundantly. Knowing that, believing that, it is the power of God. Salvation, was it you that was talking about this last night? We have to stop thinking of salvation as the sweet by and by. Yeah. God wants to save us right here today. Yes. Your salvation begins today. Amen. Praise the Lord. I said your salvation begins today. Yes. Listen, I'm going to tell you something real. I want to share it because it's on my heart to do it, and I just really believe I need to. If I bring up something in this pulpit that you're doing that's sin, I am not trying to look at your life. First of all, again, I don't know what everybody does when they're not here. I am not trying to look at your life and say that you know, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, and that God hates you, because none of that is true. The reason that I'm preaching it is because God loves you. Because God wants to save you from that mess. God wants to save you from that end. He wants to save you from destruction because of just what I said. The good news is not destruction. The good news is life and more abundantly. But those other things cause destruction. We have to grow beyond that. We have to be people that will stand up against those things. Amen? But we're not going to be doing it unless we're empowered to do so. We're not going to know to do so. And so if you deal with it, if there's areas of your life that sometimes we preach about and that you struggle with, don't be in condemnation about it. Just decide, I'm going to change it. Just make the decision that I'm going to start speaking it. And if you need help with it, do not be ashamed to come to us, because we will not judge you. We don't judge people here. We will help you. We will help you get beyond it, because we've helped other people. We've helped ourselves. Praise the Lord, doing the same thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Church should be setting people free, not people perpetually living the same life they always lived, but now they just call themselves Christians. There should be change, right? If there isn't change, then it's worthless. Pointless. Amen. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for all of us. Amen. We're going to see Jesus did this one other time, or at least another time. Praise the Lord. Actually, Jesus walked and talked in faith. Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verses 18 through 22. Now, we always read this account in Mark. I wanted to bring it out here just to get a different perspective on it. Amen. It says, now in the morning as he returned to the city, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Amen. Immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Look what it says. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. How do we go to God in prayer? You know, prayer is not just getting on your knees, folding your hands, and praying some written down prayer. If that's what prayer is in your life, prayer is so shallow, don't ever expect to get anything answered. I'm just telling you the truth. I could preach in a lot of churches this morning and help a lot of them, a lot of Christians, who have been praying worthless prayers. Because they're not even praying to God. They're complaining to God. They're crying to God. But they're not praying prayers of faith. What did Jesus say? He said, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. But see, you can't do this from a place if you're not in a place of faith. And you can't live in a place of faith if you're living separate from God. In other words, if you're living a life that's separated from God, you will never be able to pray a prayer of faith, because you can't have faith in Him. Amen? Because if you had faith in Him and you had faith in His Word, praise God, hallelujah, you'd be changing some things. Praise God, hallelujah. You know what keeps me on the right path? You don't think that I ever... Yeah, I'm just going to be honest. Can I be honest with you? One of the things I used to love doing in my past was smoking marijuana. I loved it. I loved it. I don't mean I liked it. I mean I loved it. I wanted it all the time. I wanted it more. Every chance I got, I got it. And every chance I got to smoke it, I smoked it. And when somebody said that this is better kind, I'd like smoking that kind even better. I wanted more and more and more of it. Do you think that desire to want to be high, the feeling of wanting to be high, just dissipated from me? It was gone and I never wanted it again? Do you know that there's times, especially we go up to Canada and they're a little bit freer about their marijuana, aren't they, up there? There's times I'll be up there in Canada and I'll be walking around and all of a sudden I get a big whiff. And the first thought to me is, that smells pretty good. Like my pastor was talking. I'm just being honest with you. I want to be real with you, because this is where we're at. None of us, we don't necessarily just grow out of it. But this is what I know. I know the garbage that comes with smoking it. I know the stuff, the demons that will come, the demons that harass me because I was constantly high. I know what that's like. Yeah, praise the Lord. So you know why I don't smoke it? Because I know what the Word says. I have faith in the Word. I trust the Word. And I trust that those demons coming in and telling me things aren't good. Oh, I thought I knew God when I was high. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. So did Bob Marley. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. But he didn't. He did. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. He didn't. Believe in some goofy stuff. Come up with some goofy doctrine. Yeah. But it wasn't God. Yeah. It wasn't godly doctrine. Why? Because if you have the Holy Ghost, you don't need that stuff. Yeah. I don't care what drug it is. I don't care what, what drink it is. There's times, my wife and I, before we were really sanctified, we used to love going wine tasting. And you know how it is with wine tasting. Oh, you just get a little sip. But you just have a lot of little sips, and you know what happens. Your face starts getting red. You start feeling all warm and fuzzy inside. Oh, you know how it feels. A little bit giddy and stuff like that. And oh, it feels real great. You know, the Bible says that sin is joyful for a time. Yeah. Every single time I see a bottle of wine, I sit there and think, man, I would love to have me some of that wine. Yeah. In the flesh. Sure. My flesh thinks that. Yeah. But my spirit rejects it. My spirit rejects it. The Bible says that a pastor can't even sip it. Yeah. There you go, all those pastors that want to have drinking clubs in their bar in their churches. Yeah. What, the devil? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. What's it do? It's destructive. Yeah. Listen, it's not the grape. Yeah, I know. You drink the people say, I want the antioxidants or I want the good things out of grapes. Well, then drink grape juice. Or go eat a thing of grapes. You don't need to go drink it with the alcohol, because it's the alcohol that's poison. It's the alcohol that destroys. And show me an example of a life that has not been destroyed by alcohol. Praise the Lord. It's foolishness to think of that stuff. I'm just telling you the truth. It destroys lives. Causes cancers. Yes, it does. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. How do we overcome? By the word of our testimony. The word of our testimony. We say, no, this is, that's how I overcome those things. Praise the Lord. Why do I not eat Twinkies and Ding Dongs all the time? I love Twinkies and Ding Dongs. You know why I love Twinkies and Ding Dongs? Because I used to be a pothead. Yeah, what potheads do, they sit around eating Twinkies and Ding Dongs all the time because it tastes really good. They call it the munchies, in case you didn't know. Kids, you're getting a lesson today. It seemed like it was fun then, but the destruction that it brought to my life was not fun. In the moment, it can seem like it's enjoyable. It can seem funny when you see a drunk person having a good old time. You're like, oh, I want to be like that. Look at them dancing, all this stuff. But there's always a reckoning time with that mess. Always. Always reckoning. There's always a reckoning, and you know that there is. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so what keeps me away from those things? My faith in God. My knowledge that it separates me from God. And I don't want to be separate from God anymore. I lived a life that was separate from God. Yeah, because God can't permeate. He can't cross that line, because God can't partake of your sin. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But we see here that Jesus answered it. He spoke to it. He said something to it. He dealt with the lack that was in his life. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it doesn't. You know what I love about the scripture is that it doesn't tell us. It never tells us that Jesus got food. It said he was hungry, went to the tree. The tree didn't produce. He rebuked the lack, but it didn't say he just got food there, did it? I don't believe that he did. I believe he walked away from that tree hungry, but he didn't stay always hungry. Why? Because he followed God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's so important for us to understand the power of our words. It's so important for us to understand that what we speak, we have to check up on what we're speaking. Turn to Numbers 14:28, and this is where we'll close. Again, this is not to bring anyone down, it's to bring you up higher. People don't understand. If you looked at my life 15 years ago, it was way worse than where a lot of you are at today. If you look at my life 20 years ago, I'm just going to tell you it was awful. It was disgusting. I was not somebody that you would hire. I'm somebody that if your daughter brought me home, you would be like cringing. And I'm just telling you the truth. I was someone that went around my own mother, sometimes she'd cringe because of the way that I smelled or the way that I looked or because of the way what I was doing. Just telling you the truth. I mean, she did her best to hide it and stuff, you know. But every once in a while, mom's got to say something, you know. got to tell you the truth. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But see, I was not a person that was, if you were an employer, you wouldn't want me. You know what I mean? That's where I was. I believe all of that has changed today. Why? Because of what the Lord has done. My wife and I have gone from not even being able to pay our bills, not even to be able to have heat in the house, living dirt poor, I mean nothing. We've gone from that to having a house that we never imagined that we would have, and nice vehicles and nice clothes and the things that we want. We get to go places. Why do we get to do these things? Because we follow God. It has nothing to do with anything other than following God. And so if you want a life, but we give our lives to God too. We don't just sit around. You know, a lot of people, what do you do? What do you do all week? You know, oh, I know you're busy on the weekend, but listen, I'm busy I can be busy all the time. But I'm going to say this too, because I know I say that often, but I want you to understand something. That also doesn't mean that I'm too busy for somebody who needs help. Because that's what I'm here for. That's what our job is for. I will go to the ends of the earth to help somebody if I believe I can. Praise the Lord. I am telling you right now, there is nobody that's too far that if the Lord sent me to, I wouldn't go to. Why? Because my heart is after the things of God. And I don't say this to boast on me, because by God, it wouldn't have been there unless somebody had put it in me. It wouldn't have been there unless somebody had taught me the truth. Glory to God. But see, the things of God are addictive. The life of God is addictive. I'll tell you what, you think you're enjoying life now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wait till the Bible says he promises that it'll overflow. Yeah. Do you know what is overflowing? They're like, wait, stop. Yeah. It's overflowing. Yeah. But it's good stuff, amen? Yeah. We're going to close with Numbers 14:8. Say to them, this is the Lord speaking, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. Just as you have spoken in my hearing. Are we ever in a place where God cannot hear us? Even if you're in hell, God can hear you. Even if you're in hell, he can still hear you. Nobody goes there but by their own choice. It's never God's choice to send someone to hell. People go there because when their body dies, they have to go to one of two places. And if they don't want God, then they automatically accept the alternative. It's not about God just condemning people to hell and saying, oh, here's a horrible, terrible place for you, as bad as I can make it. No, if you don't want God, he'll give you the other. Because there's only two choices. There's God or not God. And what's not God is not good. Because God is good. God is love. Amen. As I live, says the Lord, as you have spoken in my hearing, so I'll do to you. Christians, we got to change our testimony. Our testimony is what we want to see. Our testimony is what we want to be. Praise the Lord. Our testimony is where we're going. Our testimony is everything that we believe. Praise the Lord. And so if you believe, if you can grab onto the word and believe that you're going to a good place, Lord, I thank you. I am not addicted. And not just saying it to the Lord, but just saying sometimes, I will not live this way. The other night, we were driving the other night, and I said to my wife, I love being healthy. I don't love being healthy. I don't love doing all the things. I love how I feel, but I don't love doing all the things you got to do to be there sometimes. But what was I saying? I was giving a new testimony. I love going to the gym. Praise the Lord. You watch out. Here I come. Hallelujah. I love it. I love eating good. I love eating a little chocolate. I love arugula delight. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen, folks, if we want to change, God's given us the power to, but we got to grab onto it. And that is the ultimate of faith, is when we say to God, Lord, I believe you at your word, and that's where I'm going. You start right there. You may not know how you're going to get there. You may not know how you're going to do it. None of that matters. All that matters is that you've decided to go.